We're here with Chris Carter. I think everybody recognizes him from ESPN and his years with the Vikings. So, Chris, we're down here celebrating the Super Bowl, and obviously you're part of the media frenzy with coverage, but you're also Hall of Fame, and the Hall of Fame has done a lot for players over the years. They've over the last couple of days, we've talked to lots of players about how much the Hall of Fame gives back to the players, because not everybody has the success. I mean, you went through your trials and tribulations yourself, but not everybody's had the success. So talk a little bit about what the Hall of Fame does for those players that get lost.
Well, this is the thing. I wouldn't consider any of our players lost. I would consider them just men going through life, just like people that you know,
right,
just like your colleagues. And it's really hard to maintain the level athletically and continue on that throughout your life. So I think in any business, and I think that we're one of the very, very unique institutions, because there's only a few men alive that have really ever played the game. In our 100-year history, there's only 25,000 men and or women that have coached the game of football. So, and in doing that, we only have probably around 15,000 that played more than 4 years. So we're really, really a small
group. A unique group, yes.
Yeah, so it's unique, our circumstances. Our skill set is unique. And the uniqueness to the peak of your life and then living, say, 50 years after that.
Right.
Now, how do I either make money, carve out a niche, or do something that would even rival my athletic ability? And that's hard to impossible to do. But the Hall of Fame has embraced everything that they can do to try to build assist the players in a number of different ways. Since Dave Baker's come over and taken over, he is by nature a developer and a salesman. So he has sold it. Johnson Controls, amazing company. They've come on from a naming rights standpoint and put a lot of money into building what we're calling the Hall of Fame Village. It's going to have assisted living. It's going to have a doctor's facility. If we need hip replacement, knee replacement, we can get all those things done in that facility. So amazing things are happening right now for the Hall of Famers. And as we say in our little small group, because I think before this class is selected, there's only like 187 of us alive.
Right.
You know, so they are doing everything that they can to continue to put the word out of what a special group of men that we have. And right now is a great time to be a Hall of Famer.
And I think you hit it on the nose from the perspective of, it is such a small group, and that locker room, you know, I never played professional, obviously, but you know, I do remember in my high school days that whole locker room spirit, that locker room friendship, you can't replace that anywhere. I mean, and I think that's, to me, that's probably one of the greatest things that you guys are doing, is that you bring back some of that those emotional ties that they've missed. But you also have your own foundation, and you work with children.
Yes, absolutely.
So tell us a little bit about
most
that.
Most of us have a great deal of passion to do things. And for me, it's always been with young people. That's why for you asked me, well, what's the lapel pin for? It's the Walter Payton Man of the Year, which is the highest honor that is given out every year in the NFL. And in 1999, I was the first recipient when they named it after Walter. Walter was a hero to most of us growing up. His character on and off the field was without reproach. The way he went about the game losing, carrying his team on his back.
Right.
So we try to put that in, not only in the younger players, but for me, my passion, I grew up housing project. My mom raised 7 kids all by herself. So for me, either a neighbor, a cousin, someone was always picking me up, taking me to ball. My sisters were always taking care of me, making sure that I was in the right places. So for me, and my mom always instilled in us, too much is given, much is required. So I try to give back.
I love that.
I try to give back to people who've been through circumstances, situations a lot like myself. But we're the most prosperous nation in the world. And if we don't care more about our young people, where will our future be? These young people will be taking care of us. So for me, I try to bridge the gap between the different generations and let young people know that there are people out there that do care about them and do want them ultimately, because it's about reaching their potential as human beings.
And what's the name of the foundation?
I'm not currently utilizing my foundation,
okay,
but I am working within the NFL, helping out not only the younger players, not only the gridiron greats, but we're in the schools. We have the Play 60 program. So
right, the Play 60
for me,
plan.
It's always been about young people.
All right, so we talked a lot about what we're doing. I want to ask the one question I always ask all the people I interview. You know, growing up, you mentioned family, you mentioned mom.
Mm-hmm.
If you could go back and have the best meal that you had with mom that she cooked for you, what was it?
Oh, man, my mom can fry some chicken, man.
Yeah?
Fry some chicken on a Sunday, and let's watch the Cowboys play.
The Cowboys.
Yeah, let's get just a little bit of hot sauce.
Right.
I mean, ain't enough room in the kitchen or living room for the whole family, so we're eating in the kitchen, on the floor. Yeah, my mom could cook. My sisters can cook. Got to have some dessert. So she might as well. She used to make this unbelievable caramel cake, like a white cake with caramel icing. Oh, man, three layers.
Yeah.
She got that from her mama.
Right.
Oh, in Troy, Ohio. Yeah, we're getting it done today. I need a cup of sweet tea, too, to go with it.
Chris Carter.
Thank
pleasure.
You, bro.
Thank you very much.
No, my pleasure, man.